name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One of the notable and noisy, for sure, features of what was called the Court of Women was the treasury that was right there in the midst of it. It was a 13-trumpet-shaped sort of receptacle looking things. It went to a box down below, and they were there to receive offerings from the pious for the maintenance of the temple and its ministry. People would just, you know, walk by it, and whatever coins they would have, they would throw into the money box. And it was, to be sure, a noisy offering and a noisy place to be when worship was going on. Pagan coins, however, were often adorned with engravings of their pagan leaders and images of their even pagan gods. Sometimes they were the same thing, because remember, Roman leaders, Greek leaders, were often viewed as gods. And as such, this idolatrous money could not be accepted into the temple. Bearing these idolatrous images, they were not allowed into the temple treasury, and so they were excluded. And it was for this reason that the money changers at the temple actually became a thing. And the people, of course, who were the, quote, money changers, didn't work for free, and so what they did was they took a cut of the exchange in the process, right? It was kind of middleman exchange in the process, and that is how they made their profit. And at least on one occasion, our Lord seems to have become rather frustrated with and took a rather dim view of these money changers. One day, in the midst of all of this that was going on in the temple, the Lord calls attention to a poor widow whom he saw casting into the temple treasury two coins. These were coins that were so small that they had no real equivalence in sort of the Roman denomination of the monetary system. And this is why, of course, St. Mark calls attention to us, the readers, with two copper coins, which is equal to two quadrants, is what it literally says. Not pennies. It's 1/64th of a day's wage. Why 1/64th is a quadrant, I don't know. That's the way they counted money. But it gets translated as penny into English, which is why it is in our text today. When this happened, Christ perceives that these two small pieces were the sum total of this woman's assets. It was all that she had. And so it's significant that she didn't just give one of them. She gave both of them. While holding back nothing for herself, she gave everything to advance God's cause in the world. Unlike the wealthier temple supporters, this woman was giving, verse 44 here, all that she had to live on, which is really a weak translation of the Greek, because that's not what it says in the Greek. What it says in the Greek is literally, she gave all of her life. Period. She gave all of her life. Our Lord knew that if a person has only 10 coins and they lose just a single one of those coins, that is a matter of considerable concern and consequence, right? He says this elsewhere. This woman gives it all. Moreover, given the majesty of the temple and its immense and towering size, this poor woman might have been tempted to feel that such a small, insignificant gift was pointless. Such is the context in which Christ speaks of her faithfulness, her bravery, and her generosity. Our Lord's reaction was typical of him. But this was not the only occasion on which he took compassion on a widow. Indeed, he was obviously fond of the story of a strikingly similar widow. of whom his prophet Elijah knew, and likewise sacrificed her last resources to advance God's cause too. It is further significant that the gospel accounts of this poor widow in the temple place her exactly, squarely, at the Lord's passion. Right at the beginning of his suffering is where she is located. Right, where she is, like right here in St. Mark's gospel, it comes at the end of five stories of conflict between Jesus and his enemies, the Pharisees, the Sadducees that he's arguing with. Right, that starts at chapter 11 and goes on to where we are right here. And it is immediately prior to his great and final discourse, which begins immediately following the encounter with this poor widow. So it's chapter 13, verse 1. Right after our text today, which, if you flip open and read it, begins with the remarks of the grandeur, the magnificence of what? You guessed it. The temple, which Christ will liken as his body. And so it is that this widow, right, to emulate this widow, doesn't chiefly become a model of faithfulness and piety for us. That is not chiefly what the text is getting at, right? Because I ask you, who can and who will give every last penny in their bank accounts right now? No one. That's not what it's ordering us to. That's not what we are being taught here. Because for this woman, for us, becomes a symbol, becomes a type of Christ himself, right? Who is about to go and give his whole life, right? His whole bios is the word. We were talking about this in Sunday school. The word is literally bios, his life. He is going right now, after this chapter, to go and give all that he had that we may have a share in. That we might have a share in his life to advance God's cause in the world. In the poverty of this beautiful woman, God gives to us a vision of Christ that we may come to know him and what he has done in giving all of himself, all of his life, all of his bios for us. Beloved of the Lord, ponder well this woman in your hearts. Come to know Christ by it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't get used to that, by the way.